Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for CVG and their commitment to serve the Lord and worship and praise, for leading us into your presence today. We celebrate that you live, every day you live, and because of that, we can face tomorrow. So thank you for that. And now, Lord, we welcome your presence into this place as we dive into the Word. We ask that you would open up our heart and our comprehension. Let us apply it, live it, become it, and bring you glory and praise with our lives. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 14. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And if you skip down to verse 14, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I want to start a series this week. It's our focus series for this year of 2019, and the series is entitled Awake. You know, I've been talking a lot and praying a lot about the term awakening and believing God for an awakening in our area. We talk about revival, and sometimes revival and awakening can kind of be interchanged, but I like the term awakening because I believe that starts with God, and that starts with the inside and works its way out. Because we all know that there are folks who are asleep spiritually, and something supernatural has to happen in their lives to awaken them to the things of God. Do you know anybody like that? That have seemed to have lost their interest in the things of God, who even don't even concern themselves with eternity or concern themselves with the direction that their life is going in. And my prayer is that God awaken us to his glory and to his grace. How many of you will pray that with me in Jesus' name? We need that supernatural move of God. And so I want over the next few weeks to stir us, to encourage us, to awake to the things of God. So I'm going to be the first one to admit, I like to sleep. I don't necessarily get a lot of it, but I like to sleep. Although at the same time, I don't like to go to bed. That's the fight. I want to stay up, but then once I'm asleep, I don't want to get up. That might be the problem. You'd think I would learn sooner or later, right? I like to sleep, and I don't like mornings. So therefore, I don't like getting up. I mean, that's a bad combination. When you enjoy sleeping and hate mornings, it's hard to get out of bed. Come on now. Some of y'all are like, you wake up, as soon as your eyes open, you're like going 100 miles an hour. Not me. I can get up, I can take a shower, brush my teeth, eat breakfast, and turn around and go right back to bed. Are you kidding me? You're awake? Lay down, for gosh sakes. But, alas, even though I do not like getting up, I have to. Why? Because I can't get my day started if I don't. I'm not going to accomplish anything if I don't wake up. Right? Now, some of you get a lot done while you're asleep. I don't. How many of you dream a lot? Dream a lot? I'm assuming I do, but I don't remember a one of them. Not a one of them. Every once in a while, if I do remember a dream, I'm like, Lord, was that you? Because that's the only reason why I think I'm remembering this dream. But most of us, how many of you admit that one of the worst sounds in the entire world is an alarm clock? You ever been beside someone and their ringer on their phone is your alarm sound? And you just want to take the phone and smash it into a million pieces. It's not quite that bad, right? But I hate that sound. I hate it. I don't like the sound. I change it every once in a while just so I won't go into fits, you know? But for most of us, we need an alarm clock. Some of you are, you know, you've got that inner clock. You know, you're like Kramer on Seinfeld. You just set that clock and you wake up. I'm not that way, right? I need an alarm clock to wake me up. Now, typically, like on Saturdays, I'm awakened by children, right? But during the week, I got to get up fairly early, about 10 minutes after 5. If I don't have an alarm clock going off, I promise you, I'm not making it to work on time. I'm not making it. I barely make it to work on time now, and I use an alarm clock. But if we don't have an alarm clock, most of you in here, you need that day that to get you started. And that's what this series is kind of meant to be. I want this to be an alarm clock. As much as you hate to hear it, we need an alarm clock. We need an alarm clock to wake us up. Some of you need coffee. Some of you need, some type of energy drink. I don't know what it is that you throw down your throat to try to wake yourself up in the morning, right? But there's something that needs to get you energized to kickstart your day. And so I want to awaken us to our call to service, our call to pray, our call to pursue God, our call to follow after Jesus Christ. Because, folks, when it comes to our spiritual lives, we've got to be awake. How many of you know that there are certain things that you're doing that you better hope that you're awake? You can't drive a car and not be awake. Some of you have done it. I tried it and didn't succeed. I wrecked on I-77. Otis back there, I think, drove like 7 miles on the interstate one time asleep. You don't want to get in a car with somebody that's asleep, right? There's certain things that you got to do. As dangerous as it is, we got to be awake for our spiritual lives, folks. And that's the problem with where we find ourselves many times, is that we get lulled to sleep spiritually. And we don't even recognize that it's happening. We were once excited about the things of God, but we've lost our passion. We once looked forward to prayer and spending time in the Word, but other things have started eating into that time. We used to look forward to gathering in the house of God and worshiping and serving and giving of ourselves, but for some reason we've lost interest. We don't recognize that we're falling asleep. And so this sermon, I hope, awakens us, allows us to recognize that this is extremely important, because we've got to be awake to serve. We've got to be awake to pray. We've got to be awake to worship. We've got to be awake to obey. The command in verse 14 is to awake, O sleepers. Now, there are some of you in here that you need to tell that to yourself right now, because you're nodding off. But if we're going to make an impact, if we're going to be difference makers, if we are going to be revival, we're wearing t-shirts that say, I am revival. We've got those t-shirts on. You know how bold of a statement that is? I am revival. Right? But if we're going to be that, we got to make sure we're awake. Why? Because the call is too important. The mission is too urgent. The pursuit of God is too valuable. And time is too short. And we have to realize that our lives are literally in the balance. And not only ours, but our families, our neighbors, our loved ones, our enemies. Our lives are in the balance. So I have to ask you this morning, are you awake? Are you awake? You ever had that happen? You ever had your spouse wake, get up and say, hey, are you awake? Well, I am now. We also have to realize that in biblical language, sleeping can also indicate death. There are multiple times throughout the Word of God that the Bible refers to sleeping, and sleeping is actually referring to being dead. And so in this command, we not only see that Paul says, awake thou that sleepest, he says also, arise from the dead. This shows the seriousness of what it means to be spiritually awake. Now, I know in the day and age that we live in, with a lot of New Age ideas and a lot of people being very spiritual but not necessarily religious, when you say spiritually awake, they think of, well, I have reached some transcendent state in which I have tapped into the other consciousness of the universe, in which I have tapped into my inner deity. Y'all get all that? You got? That's not what I mean about being spiritually awake. That's still spiritually asleep. Being spiritually awake is recognizing who we are in Christ. And, well, of course, first recognizing who we are without Christ, and then recognizing who we are in Christ Jesus. So the command is not just to awake, but to get up, to arise from the dead. But here's the thing, folks, we may not always realize it, but our prayer life is a matter of life and death. Man, we act like that prayer is just something that we do flippantly because, well, I don't know, Christians do this kind of thing. But prayer is a matter of life and death. Our obedience to the Word of God is a matter of life and death. Our witness to the world, shining our light, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a matter of life and death. We have to recognize, folks, when we deal with things that have to do with biblical Christianity, we are talking about eternity here. We have to recognize that this spiritual walk is a war. And so it demands for us to recognize how serious it is to be awake. So the command here is to wake up and sell the coffin. Wake up, get out of your slumber, arise from the dead. And then Paul even tells us why in verse 14. Christ will shine on you. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Do you want the glory of God to rise upon your life? You want to see the work of the Spirit in your life? You want to experience the move of God? You want to truly be revival? Then we need to make sure we are awake. Am I loud enough? Did I wake you up yet? To be awake means, first of all, that we are aware. The popular phrase right now today is to stay woke or to be woke. Have you heard that phrase? When we're talking about that, it implies that someone is basically aware of social injustice. They're aware of oppression. They're aware of discrimination. They're aware of these kind of issues that can come from the top down. And it is something that we are challenged with in our day. Because we find ourselves lots of times sliding back into our own worldview, and we see the world through certain kind of eyes, which makes it hard for us to see it through people who are facing some type of oppression. So I believe that the challenge is, in our own spiritual lives, that we also need to be awake. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. You don't think God isn't concerned about justice, or God isn't concerned about oppression, or God isn't concerned about racism, or that God isn't concerned about elitism? You don't think God isn't concerned about the poor or the broken or the hurting? He reaches out to those folks. And so, yes, we need to be aware of what's happening around us, but we also need to be aware of the Lord's purpose in our lives. We also have to be aware to the work of the enemy in our lives. The Bible says that we are not supposed to be, at least, ignorant of the enemy's devices. We're not supposed to be blinded to what's happening around us and to us. We have to be conscious, folks, of the importance of our spiritual lives. We're only into February, and I'm hoping that some of you have still stuck with your New Year's resolutions. Somebody's like, "Oh, yeah, forgot about that." Right? Some of you had some New Year's resolutions that you were going to take better care of yourself. You're going to eat better. You're going to exercise. You're going to do all those things. And man, when I get on Facebook, I see some folks that are just downright crazy about staying in shape. Y'all see those people? You don't. You hide them, don't you? You hide all of them. I'm tired of your posts. You're making me feel bad. But man, we can get so intense about taking care of ourselves physically. And you know what? We should. But at the same time, we will let our spiritual lives just wither away. Amen. At the same time, we will become anemic in our walk with God because we have cut time out of our day. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with exercising. You should. Or that you shouldn't eat right. Or that you shouldn't make the conscious decision to take care of yourself physically. But you know what, folks? Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is great gain. Amen. And so we have to recognize how serious and how important our spiritual lives are. We have to be conscious of this fact. We have to be aware of how important it is as we started out this year to allow God to search us and to try us and to purify us and to lead us. We have to be aware of the calling of God on our lives. Unfortunately, there are Christians that every Sunday sit in church and go home, and what they heard at church does not affect them Monday through Saturday. Amen. They're not aware of the work of God in their lives or aware of the opportunities to minister and to serve. And if we are going to be awake, folks, we have to be aware. I've heard many times people say, "Well, I just don't get a lot of opportunities to share my faith." It's because we're not aware of them. We're not paying attention. You know as well as I do, if you're not aware of a traffic light, there's going to be all kinds of crashes. I mean, I was driving in Chicago one time. We went up to Chicago. I can't even remember who was in the car with me. But in downtown Chicago, they don't have traffic lights over the road. they're on poles on the side. I didn't know that. I'm just barreling down through the middle of Chicago, traffic just going 1,000 miles an hour. I don't see a light. I'm assuming let's keep on trucking, baby. First of all, I'm not even sure where I am. You know, I'm swallowed by buildings, you know. I'm in Chicago. I saw the red light, though. I saw it. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a red light. We didn't die. I'm still here, right? I wasn't aware where the lights were. And many times, we're not aware of opportunities. We lose sight. We're not conscious of the fact that our fire is going out. Our passion is slowly slipping out of our lives. Listen, folks, nobody backslides overnight. Nobody's in love with Jesus one day and completely in the world the next. It doesn't happen because either they didn't love Jesus in the first place or something really seriously happened in their spiritual lives. To be awake is to be aware, but to be awake also means that we care. Listen, we cannot close our eyes to the hurt that's around us. We can't close our eyes to the seriousness of our own spiritual lives. There are some of us in here that the way we handle confrontations is that we just avoid them. We close our eyes and pray that they go away. Maybe if I just close my eyes and open my eyes, the living room will be clean. You ever tried that one? That one doesn't work. I just thought I'd let you know. If I close my eyes, maybe the problem will disappear. I'm going to sleep on it. You ever slept on anything? I'm going to sleep on it. You wake up tomorrow morning, the it is still there. Right? We can't close our eyes. To be awake is to be active, which means we can't just talk about it any longer. If we say we care about our spiritual walk with God, then it has to be seen in what we do. If we say we care about reaching out to the hurting and the broken and the lost, then it should show in what we do, because to be awake is to be active. We can't just talk about spiritual matters anymore. They have to be a priority in our lives. We have to stop talking about how much more we should be doing and actually start doing it. Paul and brother, Pastor Don preached last week. Was it last week? Do something. It's a simple statement. Do something. There's nothing more important than our spiritual walk. And if we don't care, then we don't act. If we don't care, then we don't act. Don't tell me that you care and then don't do anything about it. If you care, then do something about it. If you don't like the circumstances you're in, do something about it. If you don't like where you are spiritually, do something about it. So to be awake means we're aware, and number two, it means that we care. So as we look at Ephesians 5, we are taking a look at what Paul says. We are not only that we are supposed to be awake, but he's showing us what we are supposed to awake to. Why? Because being awake is not just a passive state of being. I mean, for some of us, it kind of is. You know any people that just walk around like a zombie? They're awake, but they ain't here, right? Come on now. For some of us, being awake is just, you met the challenge just by opening your eyeballs in the morning. God bless you. But typically, being awake is not just a state of being. To be awake means that we rise to meet the calling that God has placed upon our lives. We're not just getting up and walking around without any hope, without any purpose, without any direction, without anything that God wants us to do. You got up this morning. God gave you breath this morning to glorify Him and to lift up His name and to let your light shine in darkness. You have a reason to be here this morning. And it's not just because you're awake and have no other place to be. Verses 1 and 2 points to, first of all, to where this all begins. What are we to awake to? First of all, we must awake to love. Now, I know I've preached a lot on the subject of love, and recently we've talked a lot about love here, and I don't necessarily want to rehash or pound this into your mind, but you know what? There's no more important subject that we can talk about as Christians than our walk of love, than the love life that God has called us to walk in. Here in this first passage of Scripture, it tells us in verse 1 that you be followers of God as dear children and do what? Walk in love. And this is where the call to discipleship begins. It begins with your love life. It doesn't begin with how loudly you can shout or whether or not you operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't start with how good you are or how much money you give in the offering tray. Where it begins is your love life. Our Christianity, folks, is only as real as our love is. The King James Version tells us that we're supposed to be followers of God. If you look at any other translation, it says be imitators of God. Did you know the Bible has called you to imitate God? Sounds like a big calling, doesn't it? But that's what it calls us to do. What does it look like to imitate God? Paul tells us, walk in love. Be ye therefore followers as dear children, because you are a child of God, imitate God. How? Walk in love. Why? Because he has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. Folks, love smells good. And hate stinks. What? Some of us have some stinky lives. Come on now. I have two boys and they play sports. They've got stinky socks. You ever had stinky socks, Caleb? Chloe's like, yeah. Chloe's probably had some stinky socks too. Come on now. You play sports, you have stinky socks, right? If you are actively involved in loving people, it gives off a savor that not only pleases God, but it pleases others. But at the same time, if we live a life of hatred, bitterness, we live in a life of unforgiveness, holding grudges, our life stinks. Our life smells. Most of us, in some way or another, look like our parents, right? We pick up certain characteristics. Physical characteristics, whether it's hair color, eyes, nose, ears, right? We look like, I mean, some of you are like, kind of look like the milkman, but that's a whole different issue, right? Most of the time, we look like our parents, right? Sorry. But it's not just how we look physically. We take on characteristics. We pick up attitudes, expressions, phrases that give us away, right? Have you ever noticed that when you get older, you're like, oh, gosh, I sound like my dad or I sound like my mom? Did that ever dawn on you at one point in time? You said something to your kids that you swore you never would say? My parents used to say this all the time. I'll never say it. And you've said it like 90 times. Finally picks up. You're like, oh, my gosh, I've been affected. But yeah, we typically look like our parents. We in some ways look like at least one of them. So we have to ask ourselves this question this morning. Who do you look like? Who do you look like? Because when people look at us, do they see Jesus? Now, I've heard Christians say, well, you can't compare me to Jesus. Jesus is perfect. Well, who am I supposed to compare you to? The devil? I hope you're better than the devil, right? Kevin preached on the quest for perfection. No, none of us are going to be perfect, but what our desire is Jesus told us, be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. That we're supposed to pursue who God has meant for us to become. That we are supposed to be honest with ourselves, we are supposed to be aware, and we're supposed to care about where we are spiritually. And it has to start with our love life. If our walk of love is being tainted by bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred, then we should be aware of it and we should care about it. Come on now. And this is what the command to follow actually means. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, what that literally means here is that we're supposed to look like the one we're following. Amen. We're supposed to look like the one we're following. You ever played follow the leader? You don't just follow them around. You have to do all their actions, right? You don't do the actions, you're out. If we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we don't just look from afar. Well, he's going over there. I'll get there sooner or later. We're supposed to be walking with him, and we're supposed to look like him. Now, as I said, this seems like a tall order, but folks, this is why we rely on the grace of God. This is why we rely on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Christianity is not something that we work up in ourselves. Some people have tried to act like that Christianity is just something that we can will ourselves to do, but we cannot. We are unable to save ourselves. Does everyone know that in here? I need everyone to know that there's nobody in this room good enough. There's nobody in this room that can perfect themselves. There's nobody in this room that because they do something, all of a sudden gets the favor of God. The only thing we can do is surrender to His grace. That's literally all I have to offer to God is my surrender. That's all I've got. My good deeds are not enough. My good looks aren't enough. I know it surprises you. But God's not concerned about how talented I am or gifted I am or how much money I've got or what my stature is in society. He just wants to know, have you surrendered your heart to my grace? I can't do this without Him. Stop acting like you can. There's people that say, well, I can't come to Jesus. I can't do it. I know you can't. Neither can I. That's why I had to be saved. If I could do it in myself, I didn't need a Savior. I still need a Savior. I can't get through this without Him. So this is why we rely on the work of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So please don't tell me that we can't love, because the Holy Spirit has spread like butter the love of God all over our hearts. Galatians 5 tells us that the Christian life is literally defined by the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit begins with what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So that's why we say the walk of love is a supernatural walk. At least the love that God has called us to. Because it's easy to love those who love us. But Jesus said, if you only love those who love you, then you're not any better than the religious or the unrepentant. This is a supernatural walk. But you know what the Bible tells us? The walk of love is what marks us as a true follower of Jesus. It's not the fact that you don't cuss. I mean, let's just be honest. If you hear somebody cuss, the first thing that enters your mind is what? They ain't saved. Come on, am I right? Unless it's you cussing. Then it's like, well, God understands. I stubbed my toe. God surely understands. Right? But you hear someone else cuss, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. You hear somebody cuss, you're like, they ain't saved. Right? Because we put so much emphasis on outward things, don't we? You see someone drunk, you're not normally saying, hey, they just came from church. I mean, they might be drunk on the Holy Ghost. I don't know, but you got to tell the difference, right? You know, somebody smells like alcohol. It has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. I just thought I'd let you know. Typically, you're looking at them saying, they don't know the Lord, right? But you got person C over here that can't forgive anybody, and we're all like, well, that's okay. Right? It's the defining mark that we are followers of God, that we walk in love. 1 John literally tells us it is the mark that we have passed from death to life. That when we love the brethren, it is a sign that we have literally passed from death to life. So that means, folks, if we're going to make a difference, we have to awake to love. So to walk in love is to be aware. Why? Because love sees. Love is conscious of the hurt that is around it. Love does not close its eyes to the broken, the messed up, or the lost. Love is literally looking for opportunities. Love is aware. But love also cares. If we are aware of the needs of those around us, then we have to act, and we cannot act like this is something that we can put off on someone else. We are called to love, and so we are called to care. Now listen, I understand there are some folks out there, don't point at anyone, that are easily offended. Come on, y'all know somebody, right? There are people out there that you can try to help and they don't want it. There are people that you can give advice to and they nod their head and then don't go do it. Am I right? Some of y'all waste all kinds of money at the doctor. Just waste it. You're just throwing money out the window. Well, I'm going to go to the doctor, but I ain't going to do a dang thing he tells me to do. Right? I'm just going to go to the doctor and give him hundreds of dollars and then go home and do my own thing. Thank you, doctor. So there are some of us out, there are some folks out there that no matter how much we reach out to them, that they're not going to reciprocate. We understand that. And at the same time, I don't have to necessarily care about people's opinions of me as I follow Jesus, right? If I want to live obediently to the Lord, I don't necessarily have to care about what everybody thinks about that. All I care about is what God thinks about me. But at the same time, folks, we can't act like that we're walking in love and then not care about people. And I know that we don't base things upon feelings. You're going to get offended. I understand that. But at the same time, we have to care about how things make people feel. If we love people, then we care. And so as we are going into 2019, I just want to remind you of what the vision of our church is, because it goes with awakening to love. If we awaken to the vision of our church, we're awakening to a love. Our vision is to love God, love people, and do what? Bring the two together. We love God, we love people, and we bring the two together. This is not only our vision, as far as I'm concerned, it's the definition of the gospel. It's the heart of God. And as I've shared with you over the years, and I just want to continually remind you and put this before you as we go forward in 2019, the vision is to love God, love people, and bring the two together. And there are three ways in which we believe this is lived out. Number one, we do it through connection. It begins with us loving God. We connect to God through prayer, through Bible study, through worship, which means we have to be aware of our level of devotions, and then we have to care enough to do something about it. If we're not connecting to God on a consistent basis, you ought to be aware of that. And if we're not aware of it, I'm praying for an awakening. Awake, awake to your spiritual condition. Awake to where you find yourself this morning, church. And then if we care about what God wants about our lives, then we will connect to Him in a powerful way. But that connection to God will always lead us to connect to other people. We have to be aware of the fact that God draws us to folks that need Him and need us, to connect to a local body of believers, to connect to the purpose of God found in building the lives of other people. I think we talked about in the life group that we recognize that if we are going to live a life that is not a casual Christian life, that we have to concern ourselves with our walk with God, our pursuit of God. But that pursuit of God should always lead us to helping people. Wednesday night, we talked about taking care of business. We talked about the Father's business. And what is the Father's business? The Father's business is people. It's people. I said Wednesday night ministry would be so much easier if it weren't for people. It'd be a whole lot easier to be a pastor if it weren't any people. But then I'd be preaching to an empty sanctuary, and I couldn't keep the lights on. Connection to God, connection to others. The second thing is compassion. As we connect to God and each other, we have to care about each other. We got to care about each other. And I'll be honest with you, we don't always do a good job of that. I don't always do a good job of that. There are times that we should be showing compassion to people, and we're just not. There are times that we get so busy in our lives that we just forget. You know, there's been times that I'll send a text to Don or Kevin. I was like, hey, have you seen so-and-so recently? And they're like, yeah, they've been gone 6 months. I'm like, oh, okay. Wasn't even aware. How am I not aware of this? It's not like we're a church of 5,000 people. How did I miss that? Right? What happens? We get so busy with our lives that we're not aware. But compassion makes us aware. And that's what I've been praying. God, I've been missing it. I've been missing things, and I don't want to miss it anymore. God, I don't want to miss that people are hurting or needing something, and I missed it because I'm too busy here. I'm too busy there. The next thing you know, it's been 6 weeks, and you feel like it was just yesterday. Has that ever happened to you? I'm not good with time anyway. You ask my wife like what happened in 2014, she can tell you what she had on and where she was and what she did. You ask me about 2014, I'm like, I think I was alive. I don't know. I think I was there. I'm not for sure. I don't remember. I don't remember dates. I'm always like, yeah, that happened. Logan was like 5. Amy's like, no, he was 2. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I was off a few years. But compassion has to be a driving force and the motivation behind what we do for the kingdom of God, because compassion makes us reach beyond ourselves and love those who need it the most. One of the signs that we are asleep is that we're always looking at ourselves. One of the signs that we are asleep spiritually is that we're always looking at ourselves. Compassion makes us look outward. It makes us be aware and care of the things that are around us. I want to say this. Make no mistake about it. If we only love people when they have it all together, but we abandon them when they are a mess, then we are not walking in the compassion of Jesus. For matter of fact, we may not have loved them at all. If we only love people because they've got it all together, then we're not really walking in the love of God. The love of God is tested when we're talking about a mess. The love of God is tested when they're rubbing us the wrong way. I remember being in youth ministry, we used to consistently talk about the fact that you had a lot of young people would come and go. They would come and they would be on fire for God, and then 6 months later they would be back living the way that they had lived. We had kids in our youth ministry that had been saved 72 times, you know. And because they're living for Jesus one day and the next day they're not. And lots of times it's easy for us to believe in a young person when they act like they're really excited about Jesus. But then when they start doing the other stuff, then we start looking at them and judging them and treating them as though they're outcasts. But how many of you know that love doesn't stop because they're here? Love has to continue once they're gone. That's what compassion does for us. It motivates us to reach. And the third thing we do, we connect, we show compassion, and then we have collision. Caring means always that we act. And love is always ready to jump in there and get dirty, no matter the obstacles or the adversity. Love collides with hate, light collides with darkness, truth collides with falsehood. No matter what we do in the kingdom of God, there's always going to be a collision. Because the enemy does not want us to move forward. The enemy does not want us to grow in our spiritual walk with God. Have you ever noticed that when you finally decide to sit down and read your Bible, that the phone rings, the doorbell rings, the sink starts leaking, the dog pees on the floor, something happens when you decide to do and grow spiritually? Some of you at the beginning of this year, you made a decision. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend time more in the Word of God. And you've had a tougher row in your spiritual walk this year than you ever have in your life. That's not a coincidence, folks. Any decision we make to move forward in the things of God is going to require a collision. Amen. It's going to require a battle. And many times it is violent and it is shocking. Why? Because this world is crooked, it is different, it is other. We are not supposed to be like the world. And so the life that we live is going to consistently collide with the life and the worldview that we are surrounded with. But that also means that, folks, we can't be afraid to take the light to the darkness. We can't be afraid to take love into hate. We can't be afraid to take truth to falsehood. We can't be afraid to recognize, yes, there may be obstacles, but God has called me to collide with those obstacles. So I'm asking you this morning, are you awake? Are you awake? It's 2019. We are closer to this coming of Jesus Christ than we've ever been in history. I don't know when he's coming, but we are one day closer, folks. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. And we have to recognize that the time is short, that this is serious business that we're dealing with. And so I have to ask you, are you awake? And awakening doesn't just mean that we are in a state of being. It means that we do something. And so this week, I am challenging you to awake to love. We must allow the Spirit of God to keep love alive in our hearts so that we can make the difference that we've been called to do. So over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to take a look at this command to awake, and then what Ephesians chapter 5 says that we are supposed to be awakening to. The challenge then is to shake ourselves and to recognize how important this journey is. So I'm praying that this morning, as you've heard this sermon, that something will spark in your heart that reminds you on Monday, I need to be awake. It reminds you on Tuesday, am I awake to the spiritual things in my life? Am I awake to the needs of those who are around me? Am I awake to love? Have I decided that I'm going to allow God's grace and the work of his Spirit in me to shed his love abroad in my heart and then let it be seen in how I live and how I interact with other people? Come on now. The challenge here this morning, folks, is for us to not hear the Word of God. It's to do it. As I close this morning, I just want to remind you of that parable, of that story. Jesus told a story about two people that built houses. One built their house on a rock, and one built their house on sand. And we know how it ended. The waves came, the storm came, the house that was on the rock stood, the house that was on the sand fell. But I want you to notice something very interesting about both of those people. Jesus said both of them heard the word. It wasn't as though one of them had the opportunity to hear and the other one didn't. They both heard the word. But the one whose house was left standing, the one who built their house on the rock, was not just the one who heard it, but the one who obeyed it, the one who did it, the one who applied it. And so I'm challenging you here this morning, are you awake? And if you're not, I'm asking you, be aware of what God's wanting to do in your life. Be aware of the attacks of the enemy that wants to distract you from being spiritually awake. And let's take the challenge and move forward in the things of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful, Lord, that you have saved us and you redeemed us. Thank you, Father, that we belong to you, that God, you are for us and not against us. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing our lives, for forgiving us of our sins and filling us with your Spirit. And now we're asking you in the name of Jesus that you would awaken a fire in our hearts, that you would stir us from the inside, that you would remind us, oh God, we are difference makers, that we are revival, that we have been called to go into the world and make an impact, that, Lord, our lives are supposed to let your light and love shine to those who are hurting and broken. So, Lord, awaken us this morning to love. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of missing it. Forgive us, Lord, of not seeing. Forgive us, Lord, of not recognizing needs around us. Forgive us, Lord, for getting caught up in our own selves that we can't see that there are people missing, hurting, people that need healed and touched and loved. Lord, forgive us for walking in unforgiveness, for walking in grudges. Forgive us, Lord, for responding in hate instead of responding in love. I ask that you would challenge our hearts to awaken to you and awaken to your love this morning. Remind us to connect and to show compassion and then collide with the world around us. Lord, bless Living Faith Church. May this be a church that always lifts up Jesus. May this be a church where the Spirit of God is free to move. May this be a church where the broken are healed, where the lost are found. And we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we focus our attention